Nothing. All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys. It was awesome. Awesome. I love being in God's presence together. Love to worship Him. So good to be close to God. That's just one of my favorite things in the world, is to be close to Him. My name is Andy Solsky. I'm an associate pastor on staff here. I'm preaching tonight. Travis is and Joy, our lead pastor and wife, they're in Texas with their family. So if you think of them, pray for them. They'll be traveling home, I think, fairly soon. And so that's why I'm here. I hope you all had a great holiday, great Christmas with family. And it's no coincidence that we're in this holiday season, and I really feel like God started on my heart tonight to talk about family, to talk about what it means to be family. And I know we all have lots of experiences with family that are not, sometimes not exactly what we want them to be. Maybe some of us do, but wherever we're coming from, there is a perfect sense of family in the heart of God. And really feeling that tonight, He wants to remind us of that and how He's established that in our midst. That here at Antioch, He's really established Himself as Father and has created for Himself a family of brothers and sisters, of fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, a place where people can come and feel like they belong, that this feels like home. And I remember when I first got involved with Antioch, and actually this, I think my wife, Emily, has the same story, is that when we walked into the, we were meeting at a gym in Boston, the space not all that much different than this, and we walk in and just that sense of, this feels like home. That sense of, man, I really feel like this is home to me. And I just really sense that God wanted to us to celebrate that tonight, to remember His goodness in establishing the family, His family here at Antioch. And I know next week is the Travis will be preaching. It's the first message of the new year. We'll be giving vision about what's to come and the things that we're going to do. We got World Mandate coming up. Worship God, change the world. It's like big picture stuff, moving forward and conquering the world in the name of Jesus. And before we do that, though, I just feel like God says, before you launch forward, why don't you look back and remember what I've done? Look back and remember who I've been to you. Look back and remember what I've done in your midst. And as I was praying about it, actually, a word that came to me was a similar word that came up when during our training school. Carol Moyer came in to lead our school. She comes in from time to time to lead our school in intercession, and we were doing intercession. We were praying for the nations. Actually, we were praying for laborers to be raised up to be sent to the nations. And when what she does, she'll have us read a passage of Scripture, and then whatever sticks out to you, the Holy Spirit will prompt something as you're reading it. Whatever sticks out to you will go. That will launch you into prayer. And I think it was from Luke 9, and it said something like this. It said, Jesus called the 12 to Him. Jesus called the 12. And for some reason, that number 12 just really, like, that was the thing that jumped out to me. I was like, 12, like, that's probably the most, like, that's the most arbitrary thing in that. It's like, that's not the point of the passage at all. But as I began to ask God about it, I really felt like He was speaking to me about the significance of the number 12. And I really feel it's a prophetic word for our church. About communicating and clarifying what He's done in our midst. The number 12 is used throughout the Bible. It's a number that signifies order. It signifies establishment, and it signifies family. If you remember, in Israel, Israel was made up of 12 tribes, and those tribes literally were the sons of Father Jacob, who became Israel. That literally the 12 signifies the family of God. And so God creates that family. He sets aside that number 12 is significant, as He sets aside that number 12. It's that sense of establishing a family, the people of God. And it's really felt like God was stirring me. And then I thought about in the New Testament, Jesus calls the 12 to Him. And He does the same thing. He establishes what is going to be the new family of God, the new church. He calls the 12 apostles to Him, and through initiation And through discipleship, he creates like a little family that becomes the New Testament church. I really felt like that number 12 is significant as we remember what God has done and look back over this year. We remember that God has established this family. And it's I don't think it's any coincidence either that this is the 12th month of the year and we're in the year 2012. That there was something significant about the number 12 and him communicating that and communicating a message of establishing family to us. The other image that came to mind as I recently was had something to do with blood. And I say that and it sounds, wow, that's weird. That's grotesque. Why are you thinking about blood? But I thought about it in the sense of the gospel. So in relation to family, we as born into this world as people, we are in exile. We're kind of in this exile. We're in this place where we're estranged from God. And Jesus, when he comes and he dies on the cross, he sheds his blood. He kind of takes on himself our exile. He takes on himself that sense of being estranged from God. He takes on himself that lostness so that we can be restored to the family of God. So Jesus' blood is significant of us being restored back to God's family. Back to God's family. The other thing about blood is just the idea of DNA. That, you know, you all heard the phrase, oh, it's in his blood to be like that. That's part of his DNA. It's in his blood. Just that the word, the idea of blood kind of has this connotation of belonging to a certain bloodline or a certain family, a certain DNA that you carry. And it just felt like significant. God was saying, I have, reminding of that image of blood, saying, I have given you my blood. You are now part of my family. You carry my DNA. You carry my DNA. DNA is, it's like a genetic code that gives the instructions on how stuff is to grow. And we're in the early stages of being a church, transitioning out of church plant. I think we've transitioned out of church plant to church, but we're still in the early stages of being a church. So God has set that I think the image of blood is saying, I've set the DNA in you, because in that DNA there is the genetic code, the instructions on how you'll grow and how you reproduce. And that's what DNA does. It sets the code for how you are to grow. Does that all make sense? So those were a couple prophetic images or words that I felt like God was saying. That's laying the foundation for tonight. And tonight we obviously have a little bit of a smaller service, and I just want you to think about it like we're in the living room. This is family. This may be your first time, and I just want to say you belong. That you belong here, and you're part of this family, and you're welcome here, and you're accepted here, and this is a place where you can be yourself and be at home. So I just want to say that. This is the living room. Just imagine the fireplace, and we're just all in it together. And it's going to be my teaching or talk tonight. So it's going to be a little bit shorter, and we're going to have a time at the end to celebrate this sense of family, the sense of the DNA that God has set in the culture he's creating here. I did feel also that God wanted me to give a little bit of a plug to those of you who feel like you're on the edge or on the outskirts, is that from the beginning, God has always been about creating family and getting people into that family, okay, and making sure people feel included in that family. And I just want to say, it doesn't have to be this tribe, it doesn't have to be this family, but find a local church that is going to be family for you. Really find a place where it's going to be home for you, a place where you can fully invest and be fully invested. And it's what God is about. Well, again, we're not the only expression in this city. God is doing amazing things through other churches. We're not the only one. We have a specific identity here. God has given us a specific DNA, and it comes out through a specific expression. But and so if it is this church, then awesome. But if not, I just really strongly just felt, just a shameless plug, get involved in a local church, get involved with a family, a place where you say, this is my home. So let's talk about family real quick. Many of us have come back from a holiday season, and we've had different experiences with family, and some of them probably good, some of them not so good. And that's just for that. That's just the. I think that is the nature of the broken world we live in. The families that we really long for, we often don't find them in our own family. And it doesn't say that it can't happen or won't happen, but because of the brokenness of our lives and the ways that we are not living in the fullness of who we're meant to be, there are times when we don't communicate love and affection in the context of family as the way we should. But I believe that God has put within each and every one of us this desire for family, this desire to belong. This family, like, there's camaraderie, there's love, there's affection, there's fun, there's a sense of adventure, there's a sense of being together. And I really sense that God has put it within our hearts. And we can see it because I know every Christmas comes and I'm thinking, like, this is going to be great. We're going to have fun, so much fun with family. There's this expectation, this longing of what it's going to be like. And I think that is that's a perfect picture of the fact that God he's hardwired it into us to long for that. He's hardwired it into that. That longing is significant of something that we're made for. We're made for family. And I just want to say that although at times our experience of family and this earth is not what we would like it to be, there is a perfect family, and God is Father, and He has invited us into it. And though on this life we may not experience it to the fullest or as we wish, one day when in the new heaven and the new earth, when Jesus comes, returns, as He says in the Bible, to make all things new, and He will bring a new Jerusalem, a new city, a new home. He will create a new home for the people who called Him Lord, and will be restored to family, and it will be the perfect family. And so just for you to know that it's okay to have that longing. And so it's okay for you to have that longing for that sense of connectedness with brothers and sisters or with parents. It's okay. And that's what the job of the church is. The church is meant to be that, although it's not a perfect expression, it's meant to be the expression of that family. Of that perfect family that God will establish in the new heaven, new earth. And so just know that God, God's heart is for family. And we can see it in our midst. What God is doing here at Antioch, He's establishing a great family. And so what are the features of family? What aspects of family are those longings in our heart, or do we associate with family? Well, we associate, when I think of family, I think of parents and kids. And I think I see that being expressed in a couple ways here at Antioch, that this is a place where God is exalted Father. He is Father God, and we love Him as our dad. And I'm not ashamed to call Him dad, because that's who He is. He is a dad. And maybe many of you don't see Him that way, but He is a dad who is committed to you, who is intentional with you, who has a great, great love for you. Jesus, in a way, is our older brother. He says that the Bible says that we're co-heirs with Jesus. That means we would be co-heirs, meaning we would be almost on the same level, although that's almost impossible to think about. There's a sense where Jesus is like our older brother. He shows us what relationship with Father is meant to look like. He teaches us the way. He's the perfect model for us, the one that we look up to, the way we look up to an older brother or an older sibling. He is that older brother to us. We also see fatherhood and motherhood and sonship and daughtership, if that is the word. You could be seeing it played out through discipleship. At Antioch, we love discipleship because we believe it's in that relational aspect that happens, that true life-on-life transformation happens. We see fathers, men who become fathers, both in the natural but also in the spirit, who take other younger men under their wing and say, this is the way of manhood, walk in it. and women who have grown up and can take younger women under their wing. This is the way of womanhood, walk in it. And those sons and daughters, what happens with them? They grow up and they become fathers and mothers themselves, and they begin to raise up the next generation. So it's this beautiful picture of family that God is displaying in our midst. And then I also think of brothers and sisters, and that's what we are. That if God is Father, then that makes us, we're all His kids, that makes us brothers and sisters. And at times we may not all get along, or things may annoy us, but at the end of the day, we love each other, and we will, we will lay down our lives for one another. Antioch, I just sense that God is saying that Antioch is a place where you can come and be yourself. That you don't have to put on any sort of mask or try to put on your best effort or your best show. That this is a place where you can come and be yourself, and you can be loved and accepted in this family. I think the time that I noticed the most that God, this idea of family, and that God was really establishing it was that Sunday service. I don't know if y'all remember it. It was a Sunday service that we shared testimonies, and people kept coming up. It went on for about 35 minutes of sharing testimonies, and there were some stories of people saying, "I want to give my life to Jesus," and I remember Stephen Law telling the story of baptizing his friend, and there were stories like that. But I heard so many more stories about saying, I grew up in a Christian home, and I tried to live the Christian life, and it really wasn't working for me, and so I kind of walked astray, but then I found Antioch. And this place has, rejuvenated my life in God. This place has reignited and refreshed and restored my relationship with God like never before. And it was something about it just kept coming up, and then I found this church. And there's these stories, and then I found Antioch, and then I found this church. And again, we're not the only thing going on. There are so many great things going on. That's not what this is about. I love who we are. I love the identity and the DNA God has given us. But we're not the only thing going on. But there was something that happened that night when I was like, God, you are really up to something. You really are establishing a family, really establishing a culture, a place where people can come and experience you. And because because when people kept sharing, they kept sharing about how something about coming to this church, this expression, helped make the switch for them. It was just something to me communicating, I'm created you with a unique DNA for this city. You're a unique family, a unique expression in this city. And the testimonies, I believe, signified that. And it was just a beautiful moment. I was like, God, thank you so much for what you're doing. I love being part of this church, this expression. I love being part of the local church, for one. I think the local church is the hope of the world. Because the local church carries the message that can actually change people, that can actually help people, that can actually transform people. There are lots of organizations and great organizations out there, but they are not touching the systemic problem. The systemic problem in the world is people and their lostness. And the only hope is the love of Jesus, is the gospel. And the church is the carrier of that message. So I believe in the local church and love the local church, and I don't want to be doing anything else than being a part of this local church. And I also love our DNA, the DNA God has given us at Antioch, this family. That we are a church that has a passion for Jesus. That we are so passionate about Him because we know how passionate He's been about us, and He showed that to us. And that we have a passion for His purposes on the earth, that we want to partner with Him and see transformation happen from local expression to global expression, from here to there, that God wants to transform the world. Something else about who we are, you can see it over here, is that we desire to be I feel like we are and are continually aiming to be changed in his presence, to be, like I said at the beginning, just to be close to him, to be a people who are marked by their closeness to God. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just went to Antioch and I felt like I was close to God. Like, that would be, I feel like I've heard people say that, and that is continually what we're aiming for, that we are a people who are in it together. That we are in it together. Adam said this before, and I've said it myself. I feel, sometimes feel closer to this family than I do my own family, because of the shared values and the sacrificial love that takes place and the commitment to one another. And that's the DNA. That's the culture here. That is, God has established. And in all the earth, we want to represent who God is everywhere we go. We want our faces and our words and our actions to speak of the nature of God wherever we go. And that's I'm just helping us see the DNA and really to be able to celebrate that this is what God has done in our midst. Before God releases us into the next stage of what we're going to do, and in the months and years to come, we're probably going to be in a new church building, and we're gonna begin to plant churches both stateside and abroad, and we're gonna have new ministries crop up, and there's gonna be new families, and people are gonna be having kids, and there's gonna be new people coming to church, and more people being discipled. Before God releases us into that, I feel like He's just saying, just celebrate and relish in who you are and what I've done so far, and really remember it. And there's just a few key moments that I thought about it, I was like, I think these are kind of the landmarks of that have marked what God has done in our midst this year. Back in January, we had two life groups, a college and a non-college life group, pretty much. And now we have multiplied to 7 life groups. We have 3 college, 2 young adult, an athletes, and an adult group. And there might be another one. I don't remember if I missed them all. We've had several salvations. We had last year in January, we had, our church was 90 people. We are now a church, although tonight is not a good showing. In that sense, like, it doesn't give the true picture of how big we are. But in January, we were a 90-person church. Now we're a 140-person church. Back in January, we were a 90-person church, and 60 of us traveled out to San Diego to go to World Mandate West. As of now, we have nearly 50% of our church members, or people who call this church home, nearly 50% are in discipleship relationships. We launched a training school with 10 students who are going to change the world. I'm convinced of it. And then, in recent weeks, there's been spontaneous late night worship and prayer, and none of the staff or none of the leadership was involved with it. People are just like, God is doing something. We just gotta meet with God, and we just gotta pray. Just significant moments, these significant landmarks of what God has done and is doing here. So as we come to a close, like I said, it was going to be a shorter teaching tonight. Let's remember the good things that God has done, and let us remember the establishing of family here. And I want to touch on that DNA. That idea of DNA again, is that I really feel like that we are poised for growth. We really feel like we're poised for the next stage, that God has laid a foundation this year and even this past year and a half. He's laid a foundation. He's laid the roots. And now that he's laid the roots, that we can grow and reproduce. And though the expressions through discipleship and then the expressions through church planting might be different from personality to personality, the DNA is the same. The values are the same. It may look different from me to Adam to Travis to any one of you. the expression may look different, but the DNA is the same. And I feel like God's saying, I've laid the root system for you so that you can grow and reproduce. And what you were reproducing is the life of God. Because remember, DNA is blood, and blood is lifeblood. Blood is life. And so we are reproducing the life of God. So I feel like he's just saying, as moving forward, just to recognize, I've established you and celebrate who the family I've made you to be. And now let's go. We're going to reproduce, and you're going to become a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, and you can reproduce the life of God all over this city and all over this world. So why doesn't the worship team come back on up? And we're just going to have a couple songs, and we're going to remember what God has done, and we're going to celebrate him. We are going to be successful going forward because of what God has done in us this year. That he's given us an identity in this city, and that the identity that we carry and that we believe in is going to be used to influence this city and influence the nations. So that's how I want us to respond. I also just felt like God wanted to open up the invitation to those of you who feel pain when it comes to the idea of family. That when you think of family, you do not think of a safe place. You do not think of a place where you can be yourself. You do not think of a place where you belong. And I just sense that he wants to do some healing in that. And even symbolically, in this home, in this house, in this living room, that as you respond, that brothers and sisters, people who are part of this family with you, would lay hands on you and pray for you and believe God to bring restoration. And so I also want to invite you that we're going to have the leaders who are present, they're going to be available they'll be up here. And if you just feel the sense of, I really need someone to pray for me, I just feel major hurt and pain in this area of family, and I want to know what it's like to be part of a family, to be part of a healthy, loving family, to be involved in a place where you feel like you belong. I just want to invite you to respond to that, and we'll be here ready to pray for you. So, God, we're so incredibly thankful that you are Father. You are Father. You are Dad. And there's just no better dad in the whole world. And I just even saw a picture of like that mug that says world's best dad and us giving it to God and just saying that with celebration, that you are indeed the world's best dad. You're such a good father. Jesus, thank you that you are the true older brother who shows us what relationship with Father looks like, and you sought us out and you paid a price to restore us back to the family. We thank you for that. I pray tonight that you, God, would really allow all of us to feel like we belong to a family, even though our actual families, our biological families, there may be dysfunction, that you would give everyone in this room a sense of belonging, a sense that they belong here, a sense that they're wanted and desired, that they're loved and appreciated and valued for who they are. I pray that you would do that. God, for those who the idea of family is difficult for them and they just feel so much pain and brokenness over family, I just ask that you would come and lovingly invite them into your house and lovingly invite them to your table, and that they know that that they would know that despite whatever they face externally, that they are still children in the Father's house, and they would find their place of security and peace and joy and life in the Father's house. And God, for the rest of us, let us not take what you've done this year lightly. Let us know that though you've done a great thing in us, it's because you want to do a great thing through us. You've done a great thing in our midst and have established a family and a culture and a DNA, and you're laying the DNA and the roots here, but not just so that we can be happy with who we are, but so that we can reproduce the life of God and that we can bring fruit of the life of God to people in need, and that we could represent you well on the earth. God, let us not, those of us who've been in a part of this culture that you've been establishing in and are part of this family. Let us not grow weary, and let us not forget that you've done that because you've done a great thing in us so that you could do a great thing through us. So we thank you, and we just celebrate you, God. Finally, we just celebrate you and say thank you so much. We thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done. And in this 12th month of 2012, we say thank you for creating a family and making us a family and establishing us as a family. So just as you respond, just do whatever helps you connect with God. Do whatever your heart needs to connect with God. And we're just going to worship together as the band leads us.